Lost my place. I'm sorry.
So yes, we had a couple of technical glitches there, folks, but I'd like to welcome back Karma Wild. We were just getting really into your efforts to get some justice for this missing young woman.
Yes.
And running into some very strange things going on in the local area.
Yes, there's quite a bit going on around here. I can say that I have talked to local entities that are in authoritative positions, and this is
obviously
hard.
For legal reasons, we're not going to expect you to name any names or anything like that.
No, I will not be naming any names tonight.
No, certainly.
And I have, you know, been told things that are in effect saying that I am absolutely taking my life in my hands to continue what I'm doing. However, not being cavalier about it, but I'm not going to stop. I have my own reasons to believe that not everybody is forthright in their information and their sharing of information. And that goes for everybody across the board. The more I find out, the more I find that I can't trust anybody. And that's not my old paranoias coming back into play. These are facts.
Well, so the facts would kind of, yeah, seem to really support that when there's so little investigation done.
Don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. Mm-hmm. The Travelers Rest Police Department are really trying hard to find her. But my point is, it's been almost 23 years. And if the prior administration had done their job the way it should have been done, then we would not be in this position, I believe, and this is my opinion at this point, because the neighborhood was never canvassed.
Wow.
There was never a grid search done. There is a large chunk of property across the street from Brooke's house that is heavily wooded that has, to just name a few things, it was developed in 1910, and it's a cabin, a single room cabin. They used to have a hand pump out front that was connected to a water well, which would have been the norm in 1910. There were no like city public services back then.
Oh, certainly.
And so there is a well on that property. In addition to the well, there was an outhouse. And outhouses, the way that they broke down the waste and kept them more or less clean was to dump lye down them. If you know anything about the physiology of a body or any meat source exposed to lye, then you would know that it would break it down easily because lye literally eats the flesh.
And it's a powerful acid, yes, yes.
Right. In addition to those two places, there are also innumerable, maybe four or five that I can see from the street. I've not set foot on this property. I can see four or five outbuildings, and by outbuildings, I mean barns. You would have had a curing or a smoking shed. There would have been a tool shed for, you know, it's a rural property at that point. So they would have farmed or probably kept animals for food sources. So there's more than a few outbuildings on this property. And in my way of thinking initially, the quickest way to get rid of a body, I thought at first, would have been to dump it down a storm drain or a sewer drain. But I happened upon somebody that was working for the water department, and I queried him about these things. And he said that the sewer drain would never work because the pipes are generally 8 inches. And so you could not fit a body down there.
No. Huh.
And in addition, they have filtration systems that would stop immediately were they to encounter a large mass. And so that would leave the storm drains, which I know for a fact, because when I was a kid, we used to climb into the storm drains and play because it was just neat. You know, we're kids. And I know that some of those drains are very large, but in particular, not these. Not these. And they empty into a reservoir. And there is certain bodies of water have been mentioned and searched. So I thought those were really good viable explanations as to how she could have disappeared. I also know that somebody at some point was living in that cabin across the street from Brooke's house and in those woods. I can't confirm it yet, but somewhere around that time, the cabin was inhabited. So I also had the theory that somebody could have been staying in that cabin. Brooke would have known that person because that person was right across the street from her. And yes, it would have been easy to coerce a young girl. And she was very small. I think she was 5'2", not quite 100 pounds. So she was very small in stature. It would be easy, so easy to have handled a girl that was possibly intoxicated, maybe having partaken in drugs, because her boyfriend was a known drug addict. He was a drug dealer. So it stands to reason that if she's with him, then she's partying too.
That seems like a reasonable supposition, yes.
Yes. So that was another theory of mine. Now, through the course of my investigation into this case, and I've got a file that's about an inch thick, every single page has information on persons of interest and background. I'm beginning with the first reports that I could find about Brooke, and that would have been her missing person poster. So through the course of my investigation, I have developed 5 entities that I believe could have been responsible for her disappearance. And I believe the reason behind that was because Brooke may have known too much.
That's very interesting. And that's a very different scenario than anything involving her boyfriend.
Right. Well, her brother.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. This involves, you know, his business. So without having, again, the benefit of the police report or anything, including the initial missing persons report, I have not seen the files. And I've requested them and I've been promised, but not received anything at this point. So I've narrowed it down to 5 possible people that I believe could be responsible for her missing and probably her demise. At this point, it's 99% certain that it's a recovery operation. It is not locating a living missing person.
And yes, your investigation, you've determined the facts. It does not appear she's living somewhere else or had taken off.
No, it's pretty well determined that this child she's dead.
But someone did in fact steal her identity for a while. Is that something you could tell us about?
There was an incident. I really did not focus on this young lady by the last name Reed. I refuse to go down that rabbit hole. She's already been caught and prosecuted, but she did have the unlucky choice of choosing Brooke's identity to get herself enrolled in Ivy League college, apply for student loans, credit cards, you know, everything that you would naturally assume that people like this would do. And she was caught. She was caught, and she did have a resemblance to Brooke, which was probably why she chose her.
Wow.
But all that did was just really mess things up if there were even an investigation at that point into looking for Brooke. As I said before, the ball was dropped. It was dropped hard, like a medicine ball dropped.
Yes, early on, yes, from the beginning.
Yeah, and there was a certain amount of continuity with that that hindered the case all the way through because everybody kept focusing on the boyfriend. Now, me being the shy, retiring type person that I am.
Well, it shows, yeah.
Yeah.
Not right. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I do rehab rental properties for a living. And I do service calls. That's part of my job description. And so during the course of a service call, it turns out that her boyfriend's family lives just down the road from me, as well as all the other actors that I suspect. Everybody's just right around me. So I went past the entrance to his parents' property, and there happened to be somebody in the driveway. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go and, you know, pop this door for this guy and let him in. And if there's somebody there still on my way back, then I'm going to stop and talk to him. And coming back, there was somebody indeed still in the driveway. So I stopped and I asked, you know, I introduced myself and asked who this person was. And he gave me his name. And it turns out it is a relative, a close relative of the missing person. And I told him the truth, that I was trying to prove that, you know, Sean Shirley was not guilty of this. And if I can never find Brooke, then I know I can prove that, you know, he didn't do it. And so I told him I was looking for Brooke and I explained to him, you know, what I was up to and what I'm doing. And he chatted with me for a while. But I'm going to tell you, we had this conversation last night.
Yes.
There are people that you encounter and instinctively you know that they are presenting one persona to you when in fact their true persona is just under the surface. And for me, I can see it. And yes, I saw who I was
truly. That intuition, yes.
No, it's for me, it's like I can see that they're wearing a mask. And I perceived it immediately. And so at that point, I had to keep going. I had to keep going. For me to step off at that point and show fear in any way would have been probably not very good. So in the end, we chatted for a while and I gave him my number. He gave me his number, which turned out to be false. His, not mine. And we actually gave each other a hug before I left. And when I told these governing entities that I had actually spoken with this person, and they were shocked. They were shocked that I had talked to him, but I didn't realize who I was talking to. I had not background checked him at that point. He's a very bad person. And they told me I must not have said anything to him that hit a nerve or I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Wow. That's pretty heavy statement coming from the police.
I didn't say the police, you did.
Fair enough. I from anybody who might be connected in an official position.
I said a governing entity.
Fair enough. Yes.
But yes. So I mean, I've been warned, like I said, many times to stay away from these people, to leave them alone, to back off. And I've yet to take that into consideration. So I've spent a good deal, maybe a couple of hundred hours working on this. I started out asking for donations to help establish an office and blah, blah, blah for P4. But since then, I have backed away from that and I'm remaining self-funded because I've just, you know, turned my room into the office. And I, at this point, realize that anybody that I'm encountering, this is small town. They already know where I'm at. There's no point in having an office. There's no way to hide.
It's awfully hard to distance yourself in those, that kind of circumstances.
Exactly. So they know I'm out there looking for them and talking about them and driving past their homes and videotaping it, which is all perfectly legal as long as I stay on public right of way. If I were to step onto their property, I could be arrested or worse.
Yes. Which aren't exactly
the
yes.
kind of people that call the police. So I have there's
a lot of. A lot of small town corruption, and I don't mean official, but just a lot of bad things going on below the surface there. You've uncovered. You've
got families that have been here since time immemorial, and they've got long established roots. We're talking about families, the ones that I'm personally investigating as a private citizen investigator, that have probably gotten their start with manufacturing and running moonshine. And then, you know, the natural progression after that is as things went further along during the 60s, it was like the drug revolution. During the 70s, everybody was getting high. literally, our moms were all on Valium and martinis, you know, so everybody else was, you know, smoking weed or literally I can remember commercials on the radio saying, are you tired, feeling run down, blah blah blah, talk to your doctor and get speed.
Yes, amphetamines were very yes. mainstream then. Yes, it's yeah, a real so, thing prescription. Yes,
honest to God truth. So you know, the natural progression was, you know, let's get away from this moonshining because it's not as profitable as the drug trade could be, and a lot of these families just transitioned, and so that became the family business. In the course of investigating these families, I've found that everybody has been arrested for drugs at some point in time. Everybody's been arrested for speeding. I proposed a postulation to you last night about the fact that everybody's got a record for speeding offenses. And it occurred to me that while they're running the drugs down the road, they could potentially have several people running the drugs with them and acting as decoys. If they see a squad car, they just take off speeding and the car is going to chase them.
Yes, this was
thereby letting the product through.
Yes, we spoke about this last evening. And yes, it seemed like there was a pattern of traffic offenses that was not just random. That
no, everybody has got a record for speeding.
A caravan, yes.
Yeah, and not all the one time. I mean, you're not going to just manufacture one big load and, you know, take it down the road. You're going to have deliveries. And as I told you last time, I know about all this because this was my world for a number of years. I perfectly understand the dangers that I'm in because these people were my family. These were the people that I ran with. These were the people I associated with. These were the people that I chose to be around. Not this particular family, but the only thing that changes really is the faces and the names.
Yes, the world of the drug world is a world unto itself. And
it is. It's a whole subculture. Yeah. And so, you know, I've got five people that I'm looking at. If not one, then all are involved in my mind. I'm specifically looking at 4 properties where it's been rumored. Actually, I'll just say it. My son, who was my son-in-law, but he was my son. I loved that boy dearly. But he was involved in the drug culture out here, and he was involved in some kind of satanic cult. And he made mention to his father when he dropped him off one time at a specific property. There were five bodies buried in shallow graves in the back of that property.
Wow.
Yeah. These are people who don't take prisoners. They yes. do not. They don't. They just, if you become a pain in the ass, then you're done. And they don't they don't care. They just don't care. People are nothing but another byproduct of their trade. They're expendable, they're usable, and when you're done with them, you just get rid of them, because by then they know more than they should.
And a lot of people think this stuff only happens in the big cities, but sometimes the worst things happen in
more out in the
rural environment. Absolutely.
Where do you think they make these drugs? They're not going to be in a condo in the city, because when you manufacture drugs, there is a certain amount of stench involved in it.
I mean, we're specifically talking meth here, right?
We're talking meth. We're talking cocaine. We're talking rock cocaine. We are talking marijuana, of course. Now it's a big trade is fentanyl. And, you know,
extremely dangerous drug. We've had so many deaths here, and I'm sure in your area they have too.
Everybody. I consider this a war, and not everybody comes home from war. And some of the people that do make it through come home damaged. And it's like any other war. There are casualties. Every war has, you know, their commanders, their generals, you know, somebody's running that platoon. And that's the equation that I can give to it. So out here, we have a general, and he has his high ranking soldiers as well as his foot soldiers. And if you understand the military life or anything to do with that, then you understand that these people operate on orders.
Oh, yes.
And when I factored in the notion of a cult, I do know a lot about that stuff. I have really educated myself on it. I don't know everything, but I do know that when you're deep into the drug culture, the next natural step is to, you know, experiment with the dark side. You're already there anyways. So, you know, I've rarely seen a hardcore drug addict that was a true Christian. Let's put it that way. So, it turns out that one of these properties and one of these persons I'm interested in also has a church on the property. And it also turns out that my son was dropped off at that property on a couple of occasions. And then it occurred to me, because this is a private church on a private property, and it's not open to public worship, that this would be a prime location to conduct their alleged cult activities. Now, where people are going to see the notion of a satanic cult, you're going to need to understand that 99% of the time, people that develop a coven, a cult, are a corruption from the real church of Satan, or, you know, the Luciferian churches.
Yes, I don't want to interrupt you so much, Carmen, but I just wanted to I guess I do need to interrupt you for just a second. I had never heard of the concept of a private church, at least in anything like a mainstream context. I mean, most churches are come one, come all. We want to, you know, we want you to join us. But this is something very different.
Let me ask you a question. If you wanted to hide something in a place that it's very difficult to pull a warrant on, what would be an ideal location?
That provides a lot of protections. Yes, it does. It certainly does.
It does. So, and in my mind, this is where they're conducting, and I can't prove it yet, but I can virtually guarantee you that this is not a true satanic church, if indeed this is for that purpose. What these people tend to do is to use the Satanism to control people. In other words, they get you to commit a crime in the name of Satan, and they blackmail you with it. I mean, you're theirs. Now, I don't believe for one second that it's not involved in the satanic concept. The concept is there. But in the actual workings of it, I do not see that. I also see that this place could potentially be a great place for picking up product.
Yes, and that's an important distinction to draw, that this isn't just the kind of satanic panic scare that there's Satanists behind every tree. That's not what we're getting at. No. This is mostly a tool of control for...
This is organized.
Yes.
This is very working... highly organized, and it's designed as a control measure.
And in what is primarily the drug trade.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, your attendees, I can state for a fact that I know that property has a lot of people using that address periodically. And they're all drug addicts. So your attendees in a church like this, I don't care what you are presenting yourself as. What goes on behind those closed doors? That's not holy.
No, I would believe that, yes.
So that's one of the properties. And I've been told that has been searched, that property, but they missed, I won't say what, but something.
Okay. So I won't say what then either, because I'll just let that go.
Yeah. So something that could have been searched was missed. Something that nobody had any prior knowledge or thought process of was not even on the radar. And I only found out about this possible theory through my research, and it makes perfect sense. God, does it make sense? So, and between the property that allegedly has five bodies buried and this other particular property, there are two other properties that are directly tied into this group. And then you factor in the what I call the enforcers. There are three hardcore individuals that are more than capable of committing murder and not blinking an eye. There's a fourth that I'm going to call the general, who probably would get his hands dirty, probably has gotten his hands dirty, but it, as a general rule, you know, the general doesn't go in with a gun. So I have those theories that I'm working on. I fully intend to begin right back at what should have been done initially. I'm going back and I'm going to canvass that neighborhood for any people that may still be living in that neighborhood that were there when she disappeared. And I'm going back to ground zero. That's all I can do. Without the benefit of having the case file, then I don't feel I have any other option.
Yes, I mean, that's a major impediment.
It's hard. It's hard. Yes. I found things that other people have not found and were surprised that I had found. And that doesn't make me feel confident. These people should have known about these things. But yes. I'm very happy to share the information with the people that could most benefit from it. But the fact is that I don't know that I can trust them.
That is, especially in this rural environment, a very difficult thing.
Well, one person in particular is a very upstanding human being by all accounts. But that person has flat out lied about a fact, either to me or to, you know, a good many people. So I question that. I question that. Either I'm being led down the wrong path to keep me out of the way, or I'm being led down the right path and the rest of the world is being led down the wrong path. I don't see the second scenario.
Yes.
In addition, I question, given the scope and nature of all of this, why the DEA, the ATF, SLED, or any other huge entity is not involved in this. Now, I know the FBI did jump in at one point when this Reed girl assumed Brooke's identity. They had to. But
I'm yes, not, being interstated is a federal crime, yes.
Right. So I've not had any further knowledge of them being involved further than that. But I don't understand why these large entities are not involved. I don't see the people that I have spoken to, that governing entity, being egotistical about this. I do believe they truly, truly want to find her, and that, you know, they have not lied to me by telling me that I'm in danger, that I've kicked a hornet's nest, and I should at the very least back away, and at the very most stay armed at all times.
Wow. Wow.
This is what happens when you don't provide somebody with the information that they need. You tie their hands, you blindfold them, and you sit them out in the dark and tell them find your own way.
Yeah. Yes, that sounds...
In my mind, you're putting me in danger by not helping me.
Yes, that I can't argue with that at all. You had mentioned earlier that possibly Brooke's disappearance was connected with almost two dozen other young women.
Okay, so that's the group of girls I call the dead zone, because that area, it's bordered by four different highways. And just to mention it, every girl in that group has the same victimology. They are approximately the same height, same weight, same looks. All of them have piercings and or tattoos. They are all what I call throwaways, where, I mean, they're not from good homes. Maybe loving homes, just not good homes.
Yes, that's a terrible reality.
They all share the trait that they're independent, free thinking, gonna have it my way or no way at all kind of females. Six in particular, I hate to do this. I hate to bring up this satanic thing, but during the course of researching about Satanism and Luciferianism and, you know, the Black holidays and whatnot, it turns out that six of my girls went missing on the day that you would capture a victim and hold them for 24 hours before sacrifice. Wow. I don't believe in coincidences.
No, and just because there's not a Satanist behind every tree doesn't mean that people don't use this to control other people and to put a name on what they're doing. You know, yes. I think that's very valid. So that is something that happens.
Or you can narrow it down to just one individual that has a thought process that slants in that direction.
Yes, so, that one crazy person, yes.
I don't even hesitate to mention that I believe that there is a serial killer active in the Petey region. And because of the time frame, we're talking decades. Because of the time frame, people tend to negate my findings, even though I can prove that every one of my girls, 23, every one of them that went missing were never gone missing on a Tuesday. Whatever that Tuesday means, it seems to be the key to all. And none of my girls, two of them only went missing outside of camp season. Every one of them were taken in areas that have RV parks, like KOAs.
Yes.
And so that led to the postulation that I'm dealing with one killer and possibly generational. That
is unfortunately very a possible thing, a thing that happens, yes.
It does. I mean, you are dealing with, I mean, you just don't know who or what you're dealing with. I do not believe they were all sex trafficked. I do not. Some of the females have, over the course of the last 6 years, turned up dead, of course. But those were narrowed down to boyfriends or somebody they knew killing them. And I've taken them off the list as they go. But I've still got a great many that are just missing. They just dropped off the face of the earth. They went into the void. And Brooke fit the victimology and the physiology. And so that's why I initially included her in my group, even though she was way outside of the dead zone. She just fit in perfectly. And initially, that's why I chose this case, is because it's right down the road and I could work it really hard.
And you have. I mean, you've put a tremendous amount of time and effort and personal risk into this quest for justice.
It's not over. It's not going to be over. I don't care. Let me just say this. I don't care who did it. I don't care how they did it. I don't care why they did it. That's not for me. That's for the police. My only focus is finding this little girl and bringing her home. And if I have to bury her at my own expense, it will happen. I don't, you know, the other stuff, I'm glad to, you know, help out if I can. That's not my focus. I'm only having to go through all this because I don't have the case file. And the only way I can figure out how to find her is to find the person who did it. So I don't have the benefit of saying, okay, this person's already been eliminated, or this person is, you know, a person of interest, blah, blah, blah. I'm having to narrow these things down on my own, but ultimately the one and only goal is to find Brooke. After that, you know, the police can take over.
Yes, well, at that point, you can pretty much give them the evidence in a silver platter, basically.
You know, somebody needs to. It's been almost 23 years. Yeah, that's a hell of a long time for a person to be laying in the ground, rotting down to the bone, and, you know, being a person that's interested in the paranormal. That I just can't imagine that she hasn't been trying to contact somebody to say, hey, take me home. I want to go home.
That is the point. Yeah.
She's lost her parents. Her parents have passed away. She has her aunt and her brother that are still living, but nobody's looking for her anymore. Her Facebook page has been taken down, the one that was established in her name. She's been dropped off one of the major websites that look for the missing. And people have just gone on about their lives. You know, this is a child that had everything stolen from her. She never got to, you know, fall in love with the right guy. She never got to get married potentially and have children and have a life. You know, she didn't get these things. A whole lifetime was stolen for her, and somebody is getting away with murder. Because it's hard. This is hard. And I know it's hard.
Absolutely. Yes, you have made a tremendous effort to uncover the truth here. And hopefully this in some way helps do that, because this is a very much an open case.
It is, but I don't know if it's listed as open. I still don't know if she has been declared dead by her family. I don't know if this case is just, you know, I don't really know that much about the legal perspective of it. All I know is that in the paranormal field, you get feelings and notions. And as a police officer, which you were, you understand the benefit of going with your gut.
Sometimes, yes. It doesn't have any legal validity, but does that often solve crimes? Yes, that does.
It does, because you know when you're talking to the right person. Can't prove it, but you know it. And unfortunately, you have to let that person go because you can't prove it. So I'm going to start applying pressure. I'm going to try not to cross the line. But I always keep bail money just in case. But I'm willing to take this all the way to the wall. This is small town. These are very small communities still to this day. But as I watch this, as I've been involved in this for the last month and a half, and that's all I've had to work on it. And if I'm not working, then I'm devoting my free time to this. Everybody that has any kind of connection in any way is scattering to the wind. I don't know what's going on. I know it can't be me. I mean, I'm being as obvious as you could possibly be, but I'm not a cop. And so I'm no real threat to anybody. But these people have gotten wind of something and they're scattering. Facebook pages are getting cleaned up. People are changing addresses. I don't know that they're moving, but they are changing their legal addresses. Everybody's jumping from one foot to the next. And there's definitely something on the wind. And everybody is cleaning up. Other people are going missing. I will say that there are people that are turning up missing. I don't know if they're just taking off or they're missing, like Brooke.
So there's been a sudden flurry of activity in this in the last few weeks.
I wouldn't say in the last 2 weeks, but I would say in the last couple of months, there has been a huge, this from the time that I first started with this and going through Facebook pages, I would see something and thank God I screenshot things. And then I would go back to reconfirm, you know, that I'd seen this at this place and it's gone.
Wow. That always makes you wonder. Yes. They say nothing ever disappears off the internet, but that's not true. A lot of things disappear.
Right. I mean, if I worked for Facebook, if I was part of the Facebook police, then I would be able to uncover what was hidden, but I've already seen it is my point.
Oh yes.
So I've been very diligent. When I tell you that I do a background trace on somebody and it lists all of their family members, I trace all of the family members. Then I go back and trace all the known associates for the initial person and their family members. And then, you know, it just goes on and on for there. I've literally traced the backgrounds of probably over 100 people at this point.
Wow. That is a... It's quite an I mean, as a private citizen, to do this kind of an investigation, I mean, I'll tell you, Carmen, that's really impressive.
I'm entrenched. I'm literally entrenched. And I am constantly surprised by these upstanding people that are not. I have encountered a few persons that I just dropped my jaw. I was like, what the hell? Really? I mean, really? So... it's been eye-opening and terrifying at the same time, because you think you move to a small town and you think small town living is ideal and you think, you know, people are nice and they're accepting and they're wonderful. And that's, I don't know where that town is, but I can tell you that it's not here.
No, I grew up in the rural environment myself, and sometimes the appearance is a lot better than the reality.
Right. I mean, we all want that idyllic Norman Rockwell small town, but it does not exist. If it did, even back then, and let's be honest, even back then, people had secrets. Every small town has secrets.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
yes.
They're ugly. It's not just about who's sleeping with who. It's a lot of times about who killed who and who's hiding what.
It's, you know, sometimes literally where the bodies are buried.
Exactly. Every small town around here seems to have bodies.
Yes, so, yes, indeed.
And another thing I've noticed, and I knew this from you know, being a member of the drug culture, people never go far from the source. Drug addicts do not go far from the source. And as I had mentioned to you last time when we were talking, for instance, you know, a meth head is not going to be living in Greenville to travel out here to get their drugs. It's not conducive. you want to not have to go far.
And that is a that's just a fact.
Right.
And if we have you're on substances, you want to be where your supplier is.
Hell yeah, because it's just handy. And we have a healthy, and I don't mean physically healthy, but we have a healthy population of drug addicts out here. We have more than our share. And as I told you previously, we don't have a police force out here. So if you're in trouble, you're on your own.
On your own, yes. Wow.
So, I mean, it's a perfect storm for something like this to have developed and prospered. No police force, no, I mean, there's presence, but, you know, basically that's patrolling. We have just no cops out here. There is no police force where I live. And it's the outlaw mentality.
That is a very real thing. And yes, that is kind of the environment where that would flourish.
It does. It has. It does. You know, they prospered. And all the people that I've checked, 98% don't have a job. Yet they own these, you know, huge tracts of property and vehicles and, you know, these homes that are nice. Some of them are very nice. I'll just tell you that. They don't have an income. And so why is the IRS not involved in this too? It just blows my mind that these governing entities are not in this. And I feel fairly confident that if they were, then I would have already stepped on a toe or two and I would have probably been hauled in for questioning.
That is an interesting factor too, that you haven't been like officially, nobody has come at you, have they?
No, but I've been very quiet. I mean, I've been so obvious when I'm driving past a house and literally, sorry, I have to laugh about this. Today, I drove past the property where I believe that there's five bodies. I've been told there's five bodies buried. And I wasn't getting great video from having my window mounted phone holder. So
yes.
I whipped it off of there and just held it out of the car, pointed at this property while I'm driving past. And I know they have cameras. I've seen them the last time I did this. I laughed because I was like, this is, I don't even care. I don't even care. So
sometimes it's best to be obvious so that everybody knows, hey, if anything happens to me, this is what I was looking into.
This is how I am protecting myself, is because I do these lives when I'm out snooping, investigating, call it what you want, I don't care. I will often make a live video while I'm doing it, because that I could get shot, I could get killed, but it'll be on video. And
yes,
so,
and while I wish you all the best, I mean, it's unavoidable that you are, you're taking some real risks here, Karma, and
I am in that way. I know that I'm willing to accept that during the course of this, because believe me, when I started out with this, this is not what I saw. This is not what I saw happening.
Probably went in a totally different direction than you expected, hey?
It blew up on me. It blew up on me. And instead of tucking tail and running, I decided I was going head into it. I'm not going to do what was done previously and back off because it's scary. I don't want to die, but I'll tell you the truth. I was one of the missing also. I left home when I was 14 and nobody ever looked for me. So any one of my dead zone girls or Brooke could have been me. Right. And so if I had to ultimately pay the most expensive price for this, then I would want it to be because I was trying to do something good. I'm not saying that I want to get hurt or harmed or put in.
Oh, no. You have just a deep commitment to justice and to truth, you know.
I believe that I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing things that the police aren't even doing.
That's unfortunate, but yeah, it seems to be completely true that, yeah, you are driving this much more than the authorities.
Well, it's like I told you, as a private citizen, I have more rights than somebody who has a badge. They are governed. I'm governed too, but you know, if they step onto a property without just cause or probable cause or a warrant, they're in trouble. If I do it, one of two things can happen. I'll either be arrested or killed. But I have more rights as a private citizen doing an investigation than, you know, even a private investigator, because they all have governing bodies that are throttling them at all times.
And you can't be fired for looking at something you shouldn't look
at. All I can do is go to jail. Like I said, I keep bond money, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm committed to this, and my hope and my fondest wish is that I finally push enough buttons where, you know, somebody contacts me and I'll just tell them flat out, I don't care about you. I don't give a damn about you. Just give me Brooke and you'll never hear or see me again. I won't say anything. Just give me Brooke. That's all I'm in this for.
That's a really admirable position. We should probably kind of start to wrap this up. But
absolutely. It's probably been going on for a long time.
We've been going a little while, but that's fine. No, this is important information.
Okay.
And it's
edit out
fascinating material.
No,
I'm pretty much, other than the technical problems that we had, this is going to go out uncut. Yeah.
Oh my God. How many old timers does it take to produce one show?
I don't even want to tell you how lame I was with Zoom and all that, but it worked out. We got it now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I congratulate you on that.
Where can people find you on the internet, and what would you like to tell our audience?
I want you to know that my very first credo is always see something, say something. But secondly, I want you to know that I care. If you've got a loved one or just somebody that you know that's missing, don't give up hope. I mean, if you can't do it yourself, contact me. I'm on Facebook. I'm Karma Wild. And I think I'm the only one on Facebook named Karma Wild.
Contact I have to me. Say, yeah, you're pretty easy to find.
I can't help. I'll find somebody that will. So don't give up hope. There's people out there like me that will go the distance. So just don't give up hope.
Even
if you just need somebody to talk to, then I'm here.
Well, hey, thank you for being a guest tonight, Karma. This has been fascinating. I'm really glad that you came by, and I wish you all of the best in your ongoing investigation. And please keep me posted by all means. You know, this
know
is not over.
Before.
What's that?
You know, I'll post it.
Oh, yes.
Anything worth posting in P4.
Oh, yes. And I am a member of the P4 group, and it's a very good thing. And you're doing a very good thing here.
We're doing something I call God's work. We're doing God's work.
Yes,
where
indeed.
Other people would back off, we just keep trudging forward.
Yes. Well, your commitment is incredible, you know, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Folks, this has been The Weird Part. I am your host, Vincent Treewell. Thank you for listening, and good night. Any last word from Karma?
All Karma wants to tell you is that keep faith. And thank you so much for having me on this show. I really appreciate it. Any of you out there that are interested, look up the missing case for Brooke Lee Henson, L-E-I-G-H-H-E-N-S-O-N. H-E-N-S-E-N. Post it on your Facebook pages. Just don't let her be forgotten. You never know where the next clue is going to come from.
That's very true. Thank you and good night.